This is 89.1 WEMU, and it's Election Day. The polls are going to be open until 8 o'clock tonight. David Fair here, and I invite you to join us for Morning Edition tomorrow for election results and a wrap-up of the decisions that are being made today. Now, elections are an essential part of a democracy. That makes having an informed electorate essential as well. Public broadcasting, we believe, plays a role in that. Today marks the 50th anniversary of Lyndon Johnson signing into law the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967. That law led to creation of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, PBS, and of course NPR. One of the architects of the law was Michigan Congressman John Dingell. After 60 years of congressional service, Congressman Dingell decided against seeking re-election, and now the Dearborn Democrat seat is filled by his wife, Debbie Dingell. And Congresswoman Dingell, thank you so much for joining us today.
David, it's great to be with you.
Back in 2014 at WEMU State of the Station event, you attended with your husband and our former congressional representative, John Dingell. He told our donors in the keynote address that public TV and public radio are among the most important things we have in this country, and that public broadcasting has far exceeded the hopes of those who passed the law back in 1967. Do you think that's being seen that way today?
I think there's a great deal of unrest out there, but that most people view public television as being that oasis of serenity. It's a linchpin in our communities. It connects citizens to programming that helps our children learn. It provides access to life-saving emergency alerts. It has most definitively civil discourse, objective covering of the issues. And it has incredible documentaries that people learn from.
And I think the tone and tenor of today's broader media spectrum is really what's at the heart of our conversations today. Amid the conversations of media responsibility, there's been a lot of bipartisan support for public broadcasting, and in particular the news you hear on public radio. When you discuss this among your congressional colleagues today, do you find that to be the true sentiment, or has that been offered up as some sort of public placation?
I don't think it's a public placation. I think that people tune to public radio, public television in their communities because they know that it is a place that they can just hear the news in a unemotional, objective way, that people hear both sides of an issue and what is going on. And in this day and age, we're hearing too much about social media. We're hearing too much about fake news. Public broadcasting, to my knowledge, has not been accused of fake news, and for many is a place that they know is a safe place to go.
And so we mentioned the bipartisan support for NPR and PBS and the reality of that, but just about every budget cycle, we see calls for an end to the federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which, of course, is where the seed money comes for PBS and NPR. Do you envision a time where that resource may really be cut off?
I think that we're going to have to. Anything that's important in this country and serves a purpose, we're going to have to fight to make sure that the dollars continue to be there. But the most recent polling that I've seen, which has been in the last few months, found that 73% of Americans, Democrat and Republican, oppose eliminating funding for public television. So at a time when our nation is deeply divided, I think that there is a very significant number of people, not just a small majority, but a major majority of people, that believe that the importance of federal funding for public broadcasting, and we need to ensure that we have organizations like you, David, fair reporters, who are also involved and engaged in the community in terms of addressing issues that people care about, talking to them, convening forums, helping to see all sides and all perspectives.
Once again, you are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell as we honor the 50th anniversary of the Public Broadcasting Act becoming law. Now, you've already brought up some of the things in the way it touches community, so let's talk a little bit about what public broadcasting does specifically. On the radio side of things, Morning Edition and All Things Considered are the two most listened to programs in the country, bar none. Overall, public broadcasting reaches more than 98% of the nation's citizen, and that connects a lot of people, as you pointed out, that might otherwise not have access to pertinent information. It takes us where many roads can't lead us. Are we going to see further expansion so that we're covering 100% of the country?
I think we would like to see that, and that would be the goal. Whether we can make that happen, I don't know, but it would be a good thing to do.
As you also mentioned, public broadcasting has been an important part of education. According to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, it estimates there are 1.8 million teachers in America that are using public television's digital resources in the classrooms to educate our children, and they're touching about 40 million students with those resources. Do you see media as an important part of the educational process, or is it something ancillary to traditional education?
I think it's a very important part of educating, not only our young people and in their education, but for keeping all of us educated and aware of what the issues are and understanding the latest in technology and innovation, understanding our history, also being taught about what's happening in our communities and the different perspectives of thinking about an issue, so that when we have a major controversy in our community, someone is making sure we're listening to all sides, trying to understand each person's perspective, putting ourselves in other people's shoes. So with public broadcasting, you go down to the community level, like I have seen Eastern do when dealing with race issues or education issues, or I can think of a lot of other issues. But at a national level, when you see a Charlottesville, you see a shooting like the one we unfortunately just saw in Texas on Sunday, or Las Vegas, to bring the nation together, to bring communities together, why is this happening? What do we need to understand? Are there things that we can do to prevent? It's very important. And then, you know, the other thing that we cannot forget is the series that you, the Sesame Street, the Mr. Rogers, and the documentaries. Ken Burns has, I'm very proud of the fact that when I was at General Motors, we were the first underwriter, and I was one of the people responsible for it, of underwriting on PBS.
Now they're all lined up, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Now everybody waits to see what are we going to learn about next from Ken Burns, and certainly his Vietnam War series has touched all of us in our hearts and souls in a way that none of us is going to forget.
Indeed. And I want to take it to a little bit more of a personal level as our time starts to wind down here. But in addition to all of the serious matters that are covered on PBS, on NPR, and presented forth, and the important and very serious issues that we deal with on a daily basis, there's a lot of entertainment, a lot of investment in arts and cultural presentation with some forms of entertainment that we might not otherwise experience. So how do you use public media beyond just news and information?
Well, I think it's been very important to arts and culture. Public broadcasting has made sure that we are encouraging and seeing all different forms of the arts, and also presenting concerts and series and teaching. And I think that's very critical. We need to make sure that as a society and as communities, we have access to the arts, that we are well-rounded, that we have a quality of life. And public broadcasting has been very important to that as well.
One final question, and it comes in this form. In signing the Public Broadcasting Act into law, President Lyndon Johnson said, "While we work every day to produce new goods and to create new wealth, we want most of all to enrich men's spirit." Now, that was 50 years ago, and I think we can all agree that would be better stated to say all people's spirit. But in your evaluation of five decades of public broadcasting, has the reality matched the aspiration?
I think that the reality has matched the aspiration. As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we have seen them educate, inform, and inspire for 50 years. And I know it will continue to do so, and am committed to be one of its broad group of supporters to ensure that happens.
Thank you so much for the time today. It's always a pleasure.
David, thank you.
That is Debbie Dingell, the Democratic 12th District Congressional Representative, marking the 50th anniversary of the law that created NPR, PBS, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.